So what does it mean to connect to God and one another? We've been talking about that all through this year, different ways of connecting, connecting to God, connecting to each other. And in this season, we're talking about connecting God and the world, the church in mission. So we visited a whole bunch of different places, and today we're going to Interfaith Community Services. We're going to hear more about it in a few minutes. But you know that everything that we've been talking about, we ground in our work in script. We ground our work in Scripture. So we're going to hear two passages today. I'm going to talk about the one from the Gospel first that Stuart's going to read in a few minutes. It's a passage from Mark where the disciples have been arguing about who's the greatest. And Jesus says, "Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo." That's what I picture him doing. I'm slapping you upside the head. Talking about who's the greatest. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you need to be small. You need to be the servant of all. Because it's when we put all our, well, he doesn't say exactly this, but this is what he means. We put all our small things together. It makes greatness. Jesus is going to say something like that. And then there's a passage from the Apostle Paul that Kay is going to read right now. And apparently in the church in Corinth, they were arguing over who was the greatest. The followers of Apollos, the followers of this person or that person. And Paul, the Apostle Paul says, no. Whoever really wants to be the greatest is a servant. So we're going to begin with that passage.
So I am reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. The one who plants and the one who waters have a common purpose, and each will receive wages according to the labor of each. For we are God's servants, working together. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Words that Sharon said that I was going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark comes from chapter 10, and it's verses 41 through 45. When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it's not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be a servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be a slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And so to give his life a ransom for many." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word this day. Amen. So I've been thinking about names. Names. It's on your mind right now, right? Names. And how they do or do not describe what something or someone is. Like, some things are individual or personal, right? I'm not talking about our names. I'm talking about things like grandma. Okay, so that describes me, right? Grandpa, mama or papa, maybe our names, but our names are not really unique to us. I know other Sharons, don't you? Yeah, okay, so not unique to me. I've been thinking about names out there, out in the world, like stores. If you were new to the planet and you arrived at Ina and Oracle and you saw a store that said Orange Theory, would you know what that is? Orange Theory. Most of us don't know what it is, right? It's a fitness place. Orange Theory. You'd think it had to do with something with citrus fruit, right? Or even Safeway. Safeway. Okay? You would think, well, that's a place I can go and I'll have a Safeway there, right? Or how about in the church? Sanctuary. This is our sanctuary. We kind of know what that means. How about narthex, though? Not so sure. Or our Sunday school class for children at 11:15, Bible divers. Bible divers. Well, it's kind of cute, but it doesn't exactly describe what it is, right? How about Christian? In your and my everyday life, would people know by our lives that we are followers of Jesus? Does our name, Christian, help us live out the life and story of Jesus? Would people know? I invite you to think about that. There's a name that does tell its story and lets us live out our Christian name by serving. And the name tells the story. Interfaith Community Services. Interfaith Community Services. ICS began back in 1985, 33 years ago. It was formed with the idea that volunteers and congregations of diverse faiths could work together and share resources in order to better respond to people in need. So in 1985, six Northwest Tucson congregations came together to form Northwest Interfaith Center, and St. Mark's was one of those. We're one of the original founding faith communities of ICS. Originally, it met at St. Andrew's. The organization became an umbrella for a food bank, telecare, volunteer caregiving, Good Samaritan emergency financial assistance, and mobile meals for people in need. By 2001, there were 18 faith communities in the Northwest Interfaith Center, and it moved to its present location, which is behind Christ the King Episcopal Church over on Ina Road, and partly that was because there was access to the bus line there. Well, ICS continued to grow over the years. Senior services were added. In 2005, the name was changed to Interfaith Community Services, reflecting the county-wide scope of services, not just Northwest. In 2010, ICS celebrated its 25th anniversary, and shortly after that, completed the campaign for the new food bank and the opening of a job resource center. And by 2012, there were 65 faith communities in ICS. Continued to grow with the completion of a new welcome center serving people. And in 2017, last year, ICS celebrated its 100th faith community partner. How about that? 100 faith communities of all types partner with ICS. In the 2016-17 fiscal year, 40,965 people were helped through ICS, with 851 volunteers donating over 61,000 hours. It's amazing, isn't it? Now, it's not just a name or an organization, though. This name connects to our scriptures and our faith story. Changing the world through Christ by caring for all people. That's what we do here at St. Mark's. And part of that commitment is to relieve suffering in our world, to be the hands of a healing Christ in the world, to change the world into what God wants it to be so that everybody can have life. And so we begin and we ground our work in these scriptures where Jesus said to those who wanted to know who was the greatest among them, Jesus said, you know, you really need to be working together. You really need to put aside this who's the greatest thing and decide that you are going to work together in order to relieve the suffering of the world, because he says, I came not to be served, but to serve. And the Apostle Paul echoes it in our scripture from Corinthians. Really? Are you going to argue over who's following this one and who's following that one? When really all you're going to do is plant and water, and God's going to give the growth anyway. So you need to be servants, one with the other, working together in order to build up God's kingdom. And that takes us back to interfaith community services. Interfaith, working together to relieve suffering. Nobody's better than another person. We have a common goal. We plant and water, and God gives the growth. Community, interfaith community. It goes beyond ourselves out into the world where God's people are, helping to create a sense of community so that all may have everything that they need. And services, not what we think people need, but what people need in order to live fully and well. It's not about us. It's about what people need. We get a chance now to talk with somebody who's been very involved with the Our Name Tells the Story Agency Interfaith Community Services. So I'm going to invite Casey to come and join me up here. Casey is the past chairperson of our missions committee for over 10 years. She's very active in the Tucson community in a whole variety of ways, and she has been our rep to ICS for many years. So tell us, Casey, how did you first become involved with ICS?
Well, and I think Sharon already mentioned, as the past chairperson of the missions committee, we needed to have a liaison with all of the different organizations. So the missions committee functions with all committee members being a liaison to different organizations. So we have Lori Jordan, who's here today, and she liaisons with Youth on Their Own and Stand Up for Kids. And I decided, because of my passion about homelessness, to liaison with Primavera, and ICS needed a representative as well, which meant one more meeting a month and also guiding this church into hands-on opportunities and keeping my finger on the pulse of what was going on with interfaith community services to bring that back to the congregation.
So, Casey, when people think about ICS, they think about food.
They do.
How is ICS involved in addressing hunger issues?
As you mentioned, they do have a food pantry. So I want to be really clear. There's the community food bank. The food bank is the food bank is the food bank is the food bank. There's no difference in Marana Food Bank or ICS Food Bank. They're all part of the community food bank. So when you give to one food bank, you give to all food banks. So ICS had the food bank. However, they were not equipped to have fresh food. So they had a capital campaign a couple years ago. Now they have walk-in coolers and freezers so that instead of just providing canned food or dry food, they're able now to give out fresh produce and frozen protein. And then they do a food drive. And as you know, we participate in the food collections. This summer, if you say, well, I don't really volunteer for ICS, if you did give a jar of peanut butter, then you did volunteer. And they raised over 10,000 jars of peanut butter. Last year was tuna. The year before that was beans. We can only wait to see with breathless excitement what will be next summer's collection. But now they, you know, and then they also have what's called mobile pantries, and they have their own little market on the move. So they serve a lot of clients, and especially during the holidays with their food boxes.
So, but there's really more. There's more. Mm-hmm. Food helps people's hunger right away, but there's other and deeper ways that ICS addresses people's needs. So why is that so important to you?
Because, you know, food is one way of serving the needs, you know, food, shelter, and clothing. And that puts a Band-Aid on a situation or maybe transitions someone. But the way to solve the problem is through things like job employment services. So now if you have a passion for human resources, you could volunteer, and they do classes in resume building and how to navigate the ins and outs of a job interview. And they help these people get jobs, so they partner a lot with restaurants and things like that. Besides that, and I kind of have a cheat sheet because I didn't want to forget some of the things that they do end-of-life seminars. They have tax preparation for people who can't afford an accountant and might want to go and help do tax preparation. They do so much more.
Yes,
and
yes.
And we have done all kinds of projects, from giving books. The Margaritas collect books at Christmas time to give out for the kids that enter the food bank. They're allowed to actually take a book and take it home. And we, of course, help with some of the other things. There's also quite a few fundraisers. I don't know if you've ever participated in the Golf Classic. There's another fundraiser coming up, and I'm not going to tell you about it. I'm going to challenge you to go look at the mission bulletin board next week and search for that particular opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about how other people in our church are involved in ICS. We asked this week how many people from our church, and we got a list from Tim Cromer of at least 19 people from our church.
19 or 20 people, and they do various things. I think, Lori, where are you? You're a driver. Lori Jordan's a driver. I think Morgan Hunter's a driver. Tom Walker, for many years, did grant writing. God rest his soul.
Yeah.
And thank him for all of his tireless years of work at ICS. So there are at least 20 volunteers out of the 851 volunteers from this church who give of their time, besides people that also have donated food. And, of course, you know, we have your money already. So 10% of your giving goes to missions, and we don't ask you for extra money during the year if we can help it. And so you're supporting ICS. It's a line item budget, and I believe we give $2,500 a year to the Interfaith Community Services.
So we're going to see some slides of empty bowls as we go along here, so you get to see some of the people who are involved.
This is one of the projects.
Yeah, one of the projects. So tell us, though, what has most deeply affected you in your work with ICS?
When Sharon mentions interfaith, I am so passionate about interfaith. Now, I'm sure when they said, okay, we now have 100 congregations or organizations, and I don't know if you can imagine the width and breadth of that, but it's not just Protestant or Christian or Catholic or Jew. It's Baha'i and it's Muslim. And it's when you're sitting at a table at this luncheon, if we took the placards and we threw them away, we would not know if the person sitting across from us was Jewish or Muslim or Baha'i or Catholic or, and it's not the forum to convert or debate or review our beliefs. What we figured out is that, number one, all these religions have a central figure and they have a belief in a higher power, a God. And all of them encourage you to love yourself and have confidence and be self-assured and then to treat your neighbor as yourself. And you can find that in the Quran and the Torah and the Upanishads, the Vedic scriptures, the Bible. All we care about at Interfaith Community Services is that we are one human race, and our job, our calling, is to relieve suffering. That's all you have to do. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter how vigorous you want to talk about politics or religion. We don't do that at Interfaith Community Services. We relieve suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's been the most that's touched my heart. I have a good friend named Jill Rich. She's Jewish. And we have been in disaster relief and blood services and community, and we have grown in our respect for each other and our faith, and we help each other at every turn. So that's what's glorious about interfaith.
So what would you like to say to people about getting involved with ICS or missions in general?
Well, you have to find your passion. I'm a real estate broker, and I deal with homelessness. So I'm involved in the Thornhill Lopez Center, which is the drop-in youth center for our LGBTQ homeless youth. I'm involved with Primavera Shelter for Men's Homeless. We support Our Family Services, which is single moms struggling with children. So if you have a passion for human resources, get involved with the job search at ICS. If you know someone who's been domestic violence, a victim of domestic violence, talk to the people at Emerge. There's hands-on opportunities. If you are a counselor, go to Tenedito and get involved in children's hospice and talking about death and grieving. If you are a seamstress, then go to Butterfly Boutique and volunteer in that. So it doesn't matter what you do or how you do it or how many hours you do it, but challenge yourself to do something. We have your money. Now we need your hands on, and we provide many opportunities at this church, and ICS is just one of them.
Please thank Casey for helping with the sermon. So here's my little wrap-up. ICS embodies the best of mission as we've been talking about it. It helps people in emergency situations. It helps people get back on their feet. It gives us a chance to partner with others so that we can help people and relieve suffering. Why are we involved in missions at all? Because John Wesley, the founder of our faith, said that true faith is proven by loving obedience. That we work on our relationship with God, and out of that, we serve God in the world. And ICS gives you one opportunity for that. Out of what God has done for us, we live out our faith in the world. We work together with others so that we plant, we water, but God gives the growth. And remember, really, it's all in the name. Interfaith Community Services, it's all in our name. Christian, showing Jesus to the world, it's all in joining with others like this. We received a thank you note from the people at ICS recently, and the note says, it's a blessing to partner with you in ministry. It's all in the name, Christian. Thanks be to God. Amen.